Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about you are the children of God. You are the children of God. Something I've been thinking about lately is just how we see true transformation in our lives, to see true change and true transformation in our lives. And the other day we did the communion meditation on cutting away, and we talked about when a baby is born, and the umbilical cord is cut, a permanent change happens in the baby's heart. There's this change of heart that happens, and it sticks with the baby for the rest of their life. A physical change that happens in their heart. And I think so much of seeing transformation has to do with, the Bible talks about we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. I think it comes from just this change of heart that we have on the inside. Now, I was talking about this with my wife. She does a lot of health coaching and working with people as well. And we're just talking about how do people truly see change and transformation? And she said, you know, I think so much of it comes out of identity. Just we make a lot of the decisions that we make throughout the day based on who we see ourselves to be. And then I woke up this morning and I'm reading in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, the very first verse in Deuteronomy chapter 14, God tells the people, you are the children of God. You are the children of God. And then he goes on to explain, this is the way children of God live. In that example in Deuteronomy, he's talking about this is how children of God eat. This is what we eat as children of God, what we eat and what we don't eat. But he goes on to say, he starts that phrase, you are the children of God. And then he lays out, this is the way children of God behave. I'm just thinking about Jesus. He talks about, for those that would make peace, peacemakers would be called children of God. So much of what we do and the change and transformation we see comes out of just having a change of heart and this change of identity in our heart, seeing ourselves as the children of God. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. Just asking God for his help to have this change of heart, this change of identity where we begin to view ourselves as the children of God and for God to begin to teach us and train us and to show us exactly what that means for us. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I pretty much had no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just seeking after worldly things. My life was very unbalanced. I was constantly just stressed. I was running my personal training business, and I was overly focused on the business. My life, I said, was very out of balance. And my business was very up and down. I was struggling with just staff turnover and cash flow issues. I'm losing money in my business. And I remember walking around the neighborhood with my wife one day, and telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. And then shortly after that, I came across the challenge to read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on day one of the month, today is the first of the month, we would read Proverbs chapter one. Tomorrow on the second of the month, we would read Proverbs chapter two. You keep going like that until the end of the month, and then you start back over at the beginning of the month. So I started reading the Proverbs every day. After a few months of doing this one day, this verse in Proverbs 13:22 just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing that we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training on how to truly live, how to walk out this life that God has given us. And so I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create manuals. I'm going to create systems. I'm going to create teaching and training for every area of life, for areas like purpose and health and family and finance, all the different areas of life. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start, but I began to seek God. What do we teach them? What do we begin to teach them? And from that point on, my relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to teach me, began to train me. It wasn't all easy all the time. He took me through some lessons that were, you know, some major learning lessons. I went through some times of struggle, but over the course of about 10 years, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint with books and courses and partners. And out of everything we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to just turn things around and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Over and over in the Old Testament, we see God telling the people, don't forget your covenant with me. Don't forget me. Don't forget your covenant with me. is this opportunity to stir his sacrifice, to stir the sacrifice of Jesus into our mind and remembrance and make his sacrifice active and relevant in our lives today. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. Within the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity I've found for us to take these promises God has made for us, to receive them by faith. And it serves as a marker in time to say, you know what, when I took communion over that day, that's the day I believed, I received, and I'm going to believe God's going to help me walk in this promise from this point on. And it gives us an opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of his sacrifice, to stir that into our mind and remembrance, and then combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice. Unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body, gives us something that we can release our faith into. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep awe and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through for us. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember the lead up to the cross. He was rejected by his own people, betrayed by one of his own disciples. He's got all the pressure on him in the garden. He's sweating drops of blood. But he willingly humbled himself to follow out God's plan for us. He's whipped, he's beaten, he's spit on, pierced on his side, crown of thorns on his head, nailed to the cross. But then on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power that raised him from the dead, that same spirit and power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. He makes us children of God. We can have this covenant relationship with God. And I think it's important we remember both sides of that. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it also has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe physical exercise is a physical expression of exercising our faith. It teaches us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith, and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And remember, masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. So when we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these today, we have to have this eternal relationship with God. But our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today. We're going to make today a masterpiece by staying connected to the master. Our relationship with him has got to impact the things that we do, the decisions that we make, the things that we think about, the things that we're speaking throughout the day. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And every day we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. So we're going to start with humility. Simple, childlike faith and humility. Jesus says, you want to enter into the kingdom of God? You got to humble yourselves like a little child. Simple, childlike, humble faith that just simply believes. And we're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people, because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves. We're going to let it flow through us to other people, where we give them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today. One of the greatest expressions of faith, and it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our position all day, is to just stay positioned in gratitude and praise. You just pay attention. Whenever you feel yourself kind of getting out of gratitude and praise, you can feel you're kind of getting out of position. And when we get in position, we're getting in position to be able to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback's throwing a pass in football and the receiver runs the wrong direction. He's not in position to receive. To be in position, we're going to be in position to receive. And what is it that we're receiving? When we get in position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. And we get this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. There is this unlimited, inexhaustible supply of everything that God has for us, waiting to be received. We have to learn how to receive it and get it flowing through us, where we see the fruit of it out in our lives. So what's in there? Every this day today, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time and finances, his purpose and kingdom and grace, it's all in there. We got to get in position to receive. And then our first or our second step is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. It's going to expand the capacity where we can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant established in our heart, where we get hearts that understand God's grace, to make us more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are those things that I'm just rolling over and over and over again on the inside? And you've probably had this example where you had some issue or problem. And the more you thought about it, the more you rolled it over on the inside, the more you talked about it with people, the more confused you became, actually. It seemed like the problem just grew bigger on the inside. Well, that same principle works in the opposite direction with the things of God. The more we magnify them, the more it grows. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, be thinking about it and talking about it. We can magnify his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing is impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got right standing with God. We've got peace with him. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at all that God has already done, because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them, not to make them any bigger than they really are. Instead, we're going to magnify God. We're going to let those problems go. We're going to give them to God, and we're going to magnify him as bigger than those problems. We're going to rest, and we're going to trust in him. He's going to bring these beautiful solutions into our life at the perfect time. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, and just magnifying those problems, rolling them over and over, magnifying all the ways people have wronged us, the things that we don't like that they did to us. We could magnify the issues and problems and just be toiling away in our mind constantly rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to learn to recognize the symptoms. It's a skill set to learn to recognize these symptoms and to turn it back around quickly if we ever get off track. So what are the symptoms? If we're in darkness, we might be retaliating at people, might snap at people. We might withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. On the inside, you feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck or you're never going to figure it out. You're going to stay stuck where you are forever. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. We're toiling away in our mind. This torment in our mind is trying to figure it all out. There's dread of the future as we're just envisioning all these worst case scenarios unfolding in our lives. You feel the pressure of just all the things that you got to get done. Not enough time to do it, all these types of things. But when we take our position in the light, there is this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless and beautiful. You feel your energy levels rise up, your faith and your courage and your confidence rise up. You feel the peace and the joy and the love and the power just begin to flow through you. The energy begins to flow through you. His mind and wisdom flow, and he begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. He solves the problems in ways that we could never even think of, in ways that are better than we can imagine. In his perfect timing, though, sometimes it takes a little patience and perseverance to get to that point. If all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms and turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? Number one is recognizing the symptoms, and then we start with humility. Father, forgive me. I missed it. I'm off track right now. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else or reconcile with somebody else, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love and what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today in a beautiful, graceful way. I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today. I'm asking for your help to tap into this and cultivate it and see it flowing in my life at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer, you'll feel this immediate shift on the inside. The weight will lift off you. The pressure will come off. You feel that peace and joy and love and energy just begin to wash over you on the inside. And then our third fundamental. We got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us throughout the day. But we got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. And lately we've been talking about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. And so today is actually, as I'm recording this, today is the first day of the month. So later today, I'm going to be sending you a video where we talk about changing out the filters for this month. Every month we install a new filter at the top of the journal. And this filter, what is it? It's really a commitment. It's a dedication. It's a commitment to walking in a new standard in our life, to implement God's ways of doing things, his standards for our life, as the standard that we use to navigate our lives by, the standard we use to navigate our lives by. So it might look something like this. God is working continually for my good. It's just a short phrase or sentence that we write. God is working continually for my good. I'm going to do continually good for others. And now when something comes your way and you're tempted to stress or you're tempted to worry, whatever it is, we've got this reminder. We keep writing it at our journal every night as a reminder at the very top. Wait a minute. When something comes at me, God's working on this. He's got this. And then when someone does something to push your buttons or get under your skin and you're tempted to retaliate or not talk to them or whatever it may be, we've got this reminder. Wait a minute. God doesn't do that to me. He gives me grace. I'm going to do continually good for this person, just like God's doing for me. You've got these little reminders just to help us navigate throughout the day. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position. And then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. The more we magnify them, the more they're going to grow. And then I like to ask this question. God, what were you trying to show me today? Just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. And whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. Just aware of his presence with you. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple of deep breaths. Get aware of his presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. We're getting recharged. We're getting powered back up in him again. And it just takes 1 to 2 minutes to do. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do? What do I know to do? Because I'm trusting that if I just keep doing the things that I know to do today, day by day, I keep doing that, it's going to lead me to what God has for me in my life. And I've learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God because I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule, taking action on things that I really don't quite know what to do yet. Now I get out ahead of him. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do and I would get behind him. So I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? What do I know to do? That becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up excited for the day like a kid on Christmas morning. And we remember this very important principle. The first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. And I began to seek God. All right, what's the best thing for us to say? I felt like God was taking me back into Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. And he said, what's the first thing you see come out of my mouth? He says this, let there be light. So I started doing this first thing in the morning, right when I wake up, the first thing out of my mouth, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. It's amazing what that simple little thing does to just set the tone for the whole day. And then we get connected with him. We start walking out that plan with a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him. Just that simple childlike faith and confidence with all the doubt and unbelief removed. He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of confident faith, it's this place of knowing. It's this place of knowing. And this grace begins to surge through us. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions in our life. He begins to go to work. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's talk about you are the children of God. Like I said, I think so much of true transformation and seeing change in our life comes from a true change of heart that we have. We talked about recently, this cutting away, just letting go of the old ways. And we're going to have a change of heart moving forward. And part of this change of heart is that we become the children of God, to begin to view ourselves as God's children. So much of what we do comes out of our identity. And to begin to view ourselves as God's children. So we're asking for God's help with this today. Heavenly Father, just so thankful for the cutting away that happened to get rid of the old, to put off our old selves, to have this change of heart, that you changed our heart. You gave us new hearts that are good soil, and you planted your seed in it. We become your children. We become children of God. And we're asking for your help today to help us to walk in that identity consistently. To help us to walk as children of God, and that you would teach us and you would train us and you would show us what that means, how to walk that out. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Just take a moment to remember. If you want to close your eyes and visualize, you can. He's rejected by his own people, betrayed by his own disciples, got all that pressure on him in the garden. He was whipped, he was beaten, he was spit on, he was mocked and ridiculed, nailed to the cross, crown of thorns on his head, and so much more. I think the worst part of it was he was separated from God. He was smitten by God. He was crushed by God. It says it pleased God to crush him. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. He gives us new hearts, new identity. He makes us the children of God. We're believing today that from this point on, we're going to start walking in that identity. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, the Bible tells us. It's the forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness. It transfers us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. This partner with him. We can be, as we talked about yesterday, a builder of the family name. We're God's children. We're going to be builders of his family name together with him. In the family business, together with God. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. Let's talk about health and fitness application here. So much of our health and fitness comes out of this change of heart. You see, people that struggle to lose weight, they lose some weight and they gain it back. They struggle to keep these long-term results. I think so much of it comes back to what we're talking about today. Just having a change of heart and just seeing yourself. Not as I'm doing this diet, not as I'm doing this workout. Seeing yourself as I'm a person who eats right. My body's God's temple, and I'm going to take care of it that way. I'm just seeing myself as a children of God, as a child of God. I'm going to nourish and take care of my body like the children of God do. Just having this change of heart and identity is the source of so much change in our life. I feel like until we get this right, all the other change and transformation we see is just kind of temporary. We get a little bit, and then we can't keep it. We lose it. We're on this yo-yo and roller coaster all the time, up and down. It's the true change of heart and identity that causes the lasting transformation, I believe. And we just ask for God's help with that today. So today was the start of it. So I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.